Thanks be to God. Jesus is very clear to these new disciples that are going out into the world that to proclaim the gospel is not an easy task. He sets before them the realities of their new lives. Did you notice that he speaks openly about their fears? Because he tells them not to have fear, not to have fear of those who will persecute you. He tells them 3 times in 4 verses, do not be afraid. All of us who have said yes to Jesus have also said, we will follow. In this passage, Jesus shares with us what that means to follow. So after you were listening to what that meant, are you still willing? Are you still willing to follow? Come with me into the heart of this message, in this passage. It is about change. And the fear that change wells up in our hearts, in the hearts of those who are impacted by change. When we say we are willing to follow Jesus, we are letting go of control of our lives, where we will go, what we will do, what we will say, all become his. We are no longer in charge. God is. And that's a very scary place to be. Because don't we want to control our lives? Don't we want to have something that we can say is ours to control? I was thinking it's interesting that it's this Sunday that this passage has occurred, because this Sunday, in churches around our conference, pastors are giving their farewell sermons. Change is upon the pastors. Pastors have packed their belongings, or not. They may be waiting to the last minute, because we don't heed very well that passage in this particular chapter that we're not supposed to have 2 cloaks. We're not even supposed to have 2 pairs of shoes, just the cloak on our body and the shoes on our feet. No, they take U-Hauls when they move. But they are moving to a new place with new people to love, and new challenges to face. It's a bit scary, sometimes with so much at stake, because the move may not have been one that they wanted to make. They may be wondering, who are the leaders in the new church? What is this church's missional focus? Or do they even have one? Will they like me? Will they trust me to lead them? What is their fear? And when they get there, when they get to that new place, they will need new doctors, new dentists, new vets, new roads to navigate, especially if it's a rural community without street signs to tell them where to turn, and new patterns of being community to learn. Change is upon the pastor, and if the pastor is human, there is fear. Jesus says, have no fear, and he reminds us about the sparrows and the hairs on our heads. Think about this Sunday. Pastors are giving final sermons in their appointments, and change is upon the congregation. Congregations have prepared that farewell luncheon and are planning a welcoming one in a couple weeks. They are receiving a new leader. Will he love us? Will she like us? Will he wear a robe? Will she change our worship? Will he visit us? Will she demand much of us? How often will he ask us to receive Holy Communion? Will she want us to use a cup and dip intinction? Or will he ask us to come to the altar and kneel? They are wondering what will be the missional focus of this new pastor. Change is upon them, and if they are human, there is fear. Jesus understood that our willingness to follow is impacted greatly by our fear. Discipleship is about change. Change in us and changing the world. Change in us. Did you know that to be a disciple means that you are also a learner, as well as a follower and a leader and a servant? Disciples are to be continuously learning and growing in their faith walk. Disciples learn best in community, church schools, Bible studies, small group studies, retreats, special events with subject matter experts. There is not a time in our life of discipleship that we are not called to study, grow, and change. Disciples are not to remain in one place, but to go forward out into the world and learn about God's great big world. Remember, Jesus sent his disciples. He didn't say, stay here. He sent them. But we as humans are often rather stubborn, especially when we are past 2 years of age. Originally, I had 12, and then I remembered a two-year-old. Stubborn. We begin to think that we have learned it all, that we know it all, that we have it all figured out. What more can we possibly learn? Why should I have to change what I believe, what I know? I want to tell you a little bit about me. Since I was a very little girl, I think my family moved so much that when I filled out one of those security reports for the federal government, my addresses were almost 2 pages. Change was part of my life. Moving has been part of my life. Roots have never been part of my life in terms of soil. But roots have been part of my life in terms of family. And then I found out later in my life because of my rootedness in God. So moving and change is comfortable for me. And Leo will tell you, if we haven't moved lately, the furniture in the house has to, because it can't stay the same. Wes is sitting there nodding his head. He's seen me move the furniture. But other people's context, there are those who have not moved ever out of their community. For generations have not moved out of the community. But I need to ask you, did the community stay the same? Ebsen School has a set of stairs on a piece of grass now. Zeb Vance School is in a different location, and there's a dump on its site. Communities change. Change is part of life and who we are. Change is the nature of things. The world is vast. So much to know. So much to understand. And we cannot begin to be the experts. If we do not open ourselves up to new understandings, we stop changing. To stop changing is to stop growing, and we become petrified. We resemble disciples on the outside, but within we are turning to stone or ice. You know, I had to get a Frozen reference in here. Elsa was born with a great gift, a gift to create ice and snow in winter. And she was asked to hide it for fear. Fear that what would the community do? Fear of the harm she could cause, because as a little girl, she couldn't control it. Fear closed her in, shut her doors so that her sister Anna couldn't even see her. But on coronation day, when she has to be coronated and she has to take off her hands, her gloves, everyone discovers this gift and they're afraid. And she runs away and creates this ice castle, but freezes the community. Everything's frozen. And when her sister goes to rescue her, out of Elsa's fear, Elsa strikes Anna in the heart with ice. And Anna begins to freeze from the inside out. Anna becomes almost petrified in ice. And as Elsa returns to this frozen community, They've plot to kill her. And in the midst of this threatening moment when the bad guy is ready to kill Elsa, there comes Anna and she stretches out to prevent her sister from being killed, and she is frozen in place. Elsa weeps upon her sister, and her sister begins to melt. And when her sister melts completely, Elsa looks at her and she says, "Well, I was told that it was an act of love that could melt my frozen heart." And Elsa understands. Elsa understands the magic of her own mystery. And she gets it. And she says, "Love." And as Elsa begins to open her frozen heart to love, the city melts. Love thaws. And everything is changed. Changing the world is scary. It's a big task. But Jesus calls us to the impossible, not the possible. Even here, change is part of our lives. Think about the structural changes in this community. We began in someone's home. We moved to a log church, to our first plank church, to our second planked church. The trees got removed in the front. Classrooms got added in the back. An education wing was finally added with indoor plumbing. And now we have asphalt. But what's going to come next? What's going to come next? Are we going to get frozen just as we are? Or are we going to have screens here with Wi-Fi connections so that as our youth worship in their gatherings, they can project the words and the music on the screens, and that they can put their text messages along their Twitters as the message is going forward to them. Not during 11 o'clock worship, okay? Maybe some during 11 o'clock worship. Ball fields in that open field over there. A community center where we can have an adult daycare and youth sports and children's camps. These are all possibilities, not probabilities, but possibilities. We might say, "It's impossible. We're too old. We don't have enough money. We don't have..." It's fear talking. It is fear talking. This community is in need of a place where they can know love, where they can know Jesus, where they can be changed. Worship has changed over the years. An organ got added. A piano got added. A digital hymnal got added. Our hymnals changed. We went from Cokesbury to the Methodist hymnal to the United Methodist hymnal. We have a Faith We Sing. We've got multiple hymnals. Scripture translations have changed. Just think about this one piece. The King James Version of this Bible, written in 1611 by the best scholars that they could get at the time. It's a beloved translation, and for centuries, the only one we had to read in worship and in our homes. But over time, new scrolls have been discovered, and theologians have come together and made a multitude of translations and interpretations so that God's scripture can be opened up to us in different ways that we might be changed by the reading of God's word. Yet instead, we're fearful of these new translations and we argue over scriptural accuracy. Which translation is more authentic? Fear drives the arguments. Fear that the new words challenge us more than we are comfortable with. If we want to be accurate, we need to read ancient Hebrew, ancient Aramaic, and Greek. That's the only way we can be accurately assured of what that scripture says. And then we find out all the meanings that one word possibly has. Change is part of who we are as disciples. And Breakaway this year, they changed. They went from Lewisburg to Fayetteville. Morning Watch wasn't on the steps of Maine. Morning Watch was on the football field. Now, for those who like Morning Watch on the steps of Maine, change was difficult. For those brand new to Breakaway, they didn't know anything had changed. Not only was the campus different, but the storms were different. And storms changed our schedule, and we either had to be flexible and move with it or be rigid, and people wouldn't experience God's blessing in the midst of the storm. Communities change. Events change. If we are willing to be open to the Spirit of God, change can be a powerful, wonderful thing. But when we let fear within, then we become petrified as disciples. We become petrified as the church. And when we wonder why no one new and young and vibrant and old and in need of a home called church isn't coming, maybe they're only seeing a petrified forest. Jesus tells us that he comes not to bring peace but a sword. Because when you choose to follow him and choose to proclaim the message of salvation and transformation, you make enemies. Because you have to speak to the social places where injustice is happening and people are being harmed. You have to speak to the education system where children are being left behind. You have to speak to the government where things have to change. But you speak with the word of God, and it is like a sword that will bring about the transformation of the world. We can change the world if we let go of our fear and follow. Are you willing to follow? Are you ready to let go of your fear? The youth at Breakaway, the four here in this church, heard their final message, and their final message to them was to go and change the world and start that right here. Are we willing to come alongside them and bring about change? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.